Freedom Scientific has released the final version of its Magic 8.02 screen magnification software with speech. The release contains a bilingual speech option offering both English and Spanish, as well as a variety of bug fixes and minor feature enhancements. And Freedom Scientific is retrenching due to the economic downturn. The latest newsletter from the company reports that software market conditions have caused many of its clients to face significant budget cuts, and this is affecting Freedom Scientific itself. Some jobs have been eliminated and spending reduced, with an aim of making savings of around 10% to the expenditure of Freedom Scientific. The newsletter says that the cuts won't impact on the company's commitment to quality customer service or product development. Apple Computer said it's moved this week to plug a software hole that allows its iTunes Music download service to be used to share songs over the internet, striking a sour note with some users. Earlier last week, Apple released an update to its iTunes Music software for its Macintosh computers, which allows subscribers to download songs for 99 cents each. One feature of iTunes called Rendezvous Music Sharing allows users to share downloaded songs between three Macintosh computers, and also allows users to share songs copied from CDs over the internet. Apple's iTunes service won the support of major record labels because it includes protection for downloaded songs, but the CD song swapping feature allowed users to pirate songs using the Rendezvous feature. The update eliminates users' ability to swap songs copied from CDs, but doesn't disable the Rendezvous feature. The new service has been a hit with more than 3 million songs downloaded since the service was released a month ago, Apple said. The three largest US local telephone companies have said they've agreed on a common set of technical standards to improve development of fiber optic networks and speed the introduction of new services such as photo sharing and interactive gaming. Since the baby bells agreed to use common technical specifications, equipment manufacturers can develop more gear more quickly and more cost-effectively. The standards involve technology known as fiber to the premises, or the extension of high-speed, high-capacity fiber optic network directly to businesses and homes, the company said. The carriers involved include Verizon Communications, SBC Communications, and Bell South, the three largest U.S. local telephone companies. Currently, long-distance networks use high-speed fiber, but local telephone networks still use traditional copper telephone wires that are ill-equipped to handle new generation services that require more bandwidth. The lack of local high-speed capacity in the US has been cited as the main factor for the slow development of more sophisticated internet and software applications. By having high-speed lines connect directly to offices and homes, customers will have nearly limitless bandwidth for new internet voice and video services. That would improve the evolution of interactive gaming, photo sharing, telecommuting, video conferencing, or premises surveillance, the company said. To Australia now, and a federal court judge has deferred handing down formal orders in the case between the music industry and Australian universities, but indicated he would order the universities to provide copies of their network records to the music industry's technology expert. The delay is to allow both parties to read the reasons for Justice Brian Tamberlin's decision before meeting for directions on Friday the 13th of June. Tamberlin told a nearly empty courtroom the universities would be ordered to hand copies of their network over to John Thackray, an IT expert for the music industry, who would search the files on a strict non-disclosure basis. Michael Speck, Managing Director of Music Industry Piracy Investigations, said that the decision showed that anyone who provides an internet service must provide access to copyright owners to data that may indicate an infringement of copyright. The universities had argued that in order to provide access to the files sought by the music industry, they'd have to provide access to other files not sought by the music industry, and this wasn't tenable. The music industry had sought access to information relating to 8 MP3 files offered for download on a web page hosted by the University of Tasmania, one MP3 file and a series of links to other MP3 files on a web page hosted by the University of Sydney, and a list of nearly 500 MP3 files on a page hosted by the University of Melbourne. All pages are believed to be updated by students of the respective universities. According to a new report, the CIA's view of high-tech tools for intelligence analysis is based on risk exclusion instead of risk management, and the policy has resulted in an implicit message to analysts: technology is a threat, not a benefit. The report, entitled Failing to Keep Up with the Information Revolution, was written by Bruce Berkowitz, a scholar working in a CIA think tank associated with the CIA's Directorate of Intelligence. Security is probably the single most important factor that prevents the DI from applying information technology more effectively, Berkowitz states in the report. He goes on, it is rare for anyone to do a formal cost-benefit analysis for a security rule affecting the use of IT, and hardly anyone asks whether a proposed rule will affect the ability of analysts to do their work. Financial issues aside, Berkowitz says even if more money were available to the CIA, the DI wouldn't be able to use information technology effectively unless it changed its mode of operation and culture. Microsoft is expanding its security business unit with a group that will establish new software development processes and create tools for its programmers so that future Microsoft products will have fewer security flaws, a Microsoft executive said. The new security engineering strategy team will look at security across all Microsoft product lines, with the ultimate goal being that customers will take security for granted in Microsoft products. Steve Lipner, the recently named Director for Security Engineering Strategy at Microsoft, said in an interview last week. Lipner previously headed Microsoft's Security Response Center, the part of Microsoft that handles security vulnerabilities in products after they've been shipped. Lipner also drove the code cleaning initiatives last year, which saw Microsoft take a break from writing code to examine its work for security flaws. The security engineering strategy team will be small, with about 10 security experts who will be recruited from within as well as outside Microsoft, Lipner said. And still with Microsoft, they are cutting the price of its Office suite of documents, spreadsheet, email, and presentation software by about 15%. The cost cut will reduce the retail list price of Microsoft Office XP Standard, aimed at typical home users, to about $410 from $480, while Office XP Professional, aimed at business users, will be reduced to about $490. That's down from $580. In addition, Microsoft said it will cut the price of the individual Office programs, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, by about 30%. Microsoft is gearing up to launch a new version of Office this US summer. The company didn't say whether it planned to introduce a new price for the upcoming Office product. And finally, using mobile phones and handheld computers to teach basic skills could help a generation of youngsters turned off by traditional education. Well, that's the hope of those involved in a €4.5 million project, an EU-backed initiative taking place in the UK, Sweden and Italy. The aim of the project is to see how mobile devices can be used to teach basic numeracy and literacy skills to young adults that have dropped out of the education system. Makers of Educational Materials Cambridge Training and Development have found that mobile learning has an element of privacy which can help those embarrassed by their numeracy or literacy skills. With mobile phones, you can text in your answers and get instant feedback, said Joe Colley, M-Learning Project Manager at Cambridge Training and Development. The company's also developed a range of learning materials for use on handheld computers. One is aimed at young people who are about to move house and have questions of a practical nature, such as how much paint will be needed to paint a room and how much it'll cost. There are also learning materials for youngsters who don't speak English as their first language, such as a mock-up of how to order goods on the telephone. The M-Learning project is aimed at young people aged between 16 and 24. Last year, pilot projects were run with 35 disenfranchised learners across the UK, Sweden and Italy. This year, the project plans to put 300 people through their paces. And that's News Briefs for this week.